This week on Potlatch, Tom Richards Jr. on Native Newspapers and Michael Zaharoff on Education of Aleuts. Potlatch, a program about Alaska Natives for Alaska Natives.
Yeah.
thanks to Folkways Records for the Savunga Dancers record of Someone Who Wants to Eskimo Dance. And thanks also to KFAR in Fairbanks, Alaska for carrying Potlatch. 9 new positions as constables will open in several rural areas of Alaska. The Alaska State Troopers have created the constable position for people of rural areas to serve the areas they live in. People to fill these positions will come from or near areas such as Chitna, Copper Center, Taylor Highway, Northway, Tetlin, Mantasta, Minto, Stevens Village, and Bettles. Salaries for constable positions depend on location. Salaries will range, however, from $1,158 to $1,445 a month. Constables are full-time law enforcement officers. They will handle such matters as larceny, burglary, assault and battery, truancy, and drug abuse. According to the Department of Public Safety, hiring village constables has the following advantages. 1, it provides full-time police service to villages which need the service but which don't have the money to pay for them. 2, each village will be able to participate and contribute to the village constable program. 3, the program will eliminate the cost and delay of having to wait for a state trooper to fly to a village to follow up on a complaint. Each village will gradually participate more and more in the training of village constables. For more information, contact your local state trooper office.
From the Indian reservation to the governmental school, well, they're going to educate me to the white man's golden rule. And I am learning quickly, for I've learned to be ashamed, and I come when they call Billy, though I've got an Indian name. But there are drums beyond the mountain, Indian drums that you can't hear. There are drums beyond the mountain, and they're getting mighty near. Now when they think they've changed me, cut my hair to meet their needs, will they call me white or Indian, quarter blood, or just half-breed? Say, let me tell you, Mr. Teacher, who is going to make me right in 600 years of fighting? Not one Indian has turned to white, and there are drums beyond the mountain, Indian drums that you can't hear. There are drums beyond the mountain, and they're getting mighty near. Well, you thought that I knew nothing when you brought me here to school, just another empty Indian, just America's first fool. But I can tell you stories that are burnt and dried and old, and in the shadow of their telling walks the thunder, brave and bold. And there are drums beyond the mountain, Indian drums that you can't hear. There are drums beyond the mountain, and they're getting mighty near. Why, there's Lone Pine and Sequoia Handsome Lake and Sitting Bull. There goes Mangus, Colorado, with his sleeves so red and full. There goes Crazy Horse, the legend, and those who bit off Custer's soul. They are dead, but yet they're living with the great Geronimo. And there are drums beyond the mound, Indian drums that you can't hear. There are drums beyond the mound, and they're getting mighty near. Well, you may teach me this land's history, but we taught it to you first. We broke your hearts, we bent your journeys, broken treaties left us cursed. Even now, you'd have to cheat us, even though you think us tame. In our losing, we found proudness. In your winning, you found shame. And there are drums beyond the mound, Indian drums you cannot hear. There are drums beyond the mound, and they're getting mighty near.
Peter LaFarge and drums. Here's a tip from the University of Alaska Cooperative Extension Service. If you live in a village where there's no bank within walking distance, consider doing your banking by mail. All you have to do is write the bank you plan to do business with and ask them to send you some bank by mail forms. Banks usually will send you envelopes with prepaid postage, so the bank pays for all of the mailing. You can even open an account by mail. If you have a check, simply sign your name and the words "for deposit only." That way, no one can steal your check and forge your signature and cash it for himself or herself. Should you open a savings account or a checking account or both? Well, that's for you to decide, of course. But one thing to consider, you don't earn any interest on a checking account, but you do have the convenience of not having to worry about stolen or lost cash, and you can still have funds for those unforeseen expenses. If your situation is like mine, you may want to keep about enough money to cover a month's worth of checks in a checking account and the rest of your cash earning money in a savings account. But it's up to you to decide what's best in your situation. This message is brought to you with the assistance of the University of Alaska Cooperative Extension Service. They're anxious to provide the information you want and need, but they have to know what you want to know. So why not help them out? If you like the announcements on Potlatch, tell us. If you don't like it, tell us too. Write to KUAC, Fairbanks. You're paying for this service with your taxes. Why not make us earn it? More records now, this time not music, but a selection of The Breakup of Lake George, narrated by Frank Brink.
One of the most overpowering natural phenomena in the world is the famous annual self-dumping Lake George near Anchorage, Alaska. Imagine a giant 7-mile-long vise, whose one jaw is a gigantic moving glacier and whose other jaw is an immovable towering mountain of rock 5,000 feet high. Imagine that for 9 months the jaws are closed, sealing off a natural bowl 16 miles long, 5 miles wide, and 200 feet deep. When summer comes, the snows of winter melt and fill the bowl, creating the lake. The lake, seeking an outlet, forces water between the jaws of the vise, tearing away the 200-foot-high glacier wall for 7 miles, allowing Lake George to dump millions of gallons of water and ice into the Kinnick River Valley. Thus, the annual violent and spectacular display takes place at Lake George. You are about to hear the sounds recorded during an expedition by Anchorage radio station KENI when the producer had a narrow escape while recording the plunging mountains of ice going through the channel created by the outpouring lake.
A giant dam has been formed across the channel from these great pieces of ice which have just fallen from the glacier. Now they're breaking loose and throwing spray 150 feet right up into the air, and one of them is coming right on top of it.
One of the recording crew, John Gorse of Palmer, jokingly theorized that the only way to break loose a 600-foot section of the tottering glacier wall was to whistle at it. While trying out his theory, the crew experienced the most awesome moment of the expedition.
Today we're located across from a great section of the glacier, which has been undermined by this torrent of water constantly eating away at it. A number of pieces of the glacier face have already fallen, and we are expecting more action any minute. Johnny and Don are just above me, betting on which piece will fall next. And Johnny has been whistling.
Hey, Frank, up to the right, look at it. Holy criminy. Hey, Frank, the whole thing is coming. The crack clear across the top. On my word of honor, as long as I live, I'll never whistle at another glacier.
That from our collection of Sounds of Alaska by Frank Brink. Don't worry about this occurring. This happened years and years ago. Speaking of Anchorage, Tom Richards is now in Anchorage. He lives there, former Tundra Times staffer, now working for the Alaska Native Foundation. Recently, Ann Nicolai asked Richards if Native newspapers will become more important or less important with the settlement of land claims.
I think that they are as important as they were in 1968-69. Just prior to the settlement, they were extremely important. They aren't noticed as much. The impact isn't as great now as it was prior to the settlement. I think because the statewide issues aren't as visible now as they were then. The land claims was a statewide issue. There's a lot of involvement now with the village and regional corporations. Much of the activity is regionalized, so it's not so visible, and it doesn't present such tremendous challenges as we had to face 5 and 6 years ago. So I think they are as important as they were, and I think they'll become more important because we're facing challenges now throughout the state that we haven't had in the last 3 or 4 years. In the last 3 or 4 years, we've been concerned with starting the corporations, getting the corporations going, and now we're going to have to face challenges of the D2 withdrawals, the formulation of subsistence regulations, the highway development. There are lots of massive challenges that we're going to have to face, and I think that these will become really viable Native issues and will make the papers more visible again. There, the D2, the land withdrawals. This is part of the 80 million acre authorization that was contained within the Land Claim Settlement Act.
Do you foresee a time when Native newspapers like the Tundra Times become daily newspapers?
I think it could happen. It could happen within a period of 2 or 3 years, but there are certain things that have to be done. Right now, there isn't a newspaper in the state that's controlled by Natives that has true statewide representation. The Tundra Times tries. Howard does a very good job, but there are regions that are much ignored, such as Southeast, which aren't involved in the Tundra Times. I think once there is a total statewide involvement in newspaper print communications, then we can work toward getting a daily paper. But I think that we have to get some strong base throughout the state first.
What services does the Tender Times perform that a regional newspaper like the River Times does not perform?
It addresses statewide issues primarily. I'm very happy to see the development of regional newspapers. I think that groups of 10 or 15 villages, or in the case of the Bethel paper, Tundra Drums, about 55 villages there, have very tremendous needs for communication that can't be met by a statewide paper because of the lack of resources to devote to regional problems. I think that's one of the differences between a statewide paper and a regional paper. A regional paper can afford to give a great deal of attention to regional problems where a statewide paper can't. And similarly, in the same way, a regional newspaper can't devote as much attention to statewide issues as a statewide newspaper such as the Tundra Times can.
50 years ago, lung cancer was a rare disease. Today, among American men, it is the most common cause of death from cancer. The Surgeon General has determined that cigarette smoking is the major cause of lung cancer. An informative booklet, Cancer of the Lung, prepared by the National Cancer Institute, is available to the public. For your free copy, write to Radio, National Institutes of Health, Bethesda, Maryland, 20014. Ask for the booklet, Cancer of the Lung. NIH is an agency of the United States Department of Health, Education, and Welfare.
My name is Michael Zaharov. I'm from St. Paul Island, Alaska, in the Aleutian region. I'm the president of the village corporation, which is called the Tunnagoosik Corporation. And I'm also on the regional board, the Aleutian region, for the Aleut Corporation, of which I'm a chairman. And in the summertime, I'm the assistant foreman during the sealing season when we harvest the first seal.
Levi Lott asked Zaharov the purpose of his trip to Fairbanks.
The purpose of that is for the state-operated schools engineering education program, of which I'm the regional board chairman for the Aleutian region, and the statewide board just elected me as their permanent chairman to serve the state of Alaska board. I think the meeting we had here in Fairbanks is very successful. We got to meet all the regional board chairmen, which is very important to make this program work. I never met any one of them before, and this gives me an opportunity to work real close with people from other villages. Even if I am the chairman of the statewide board, I had the opportunity to meet every one of them. They're the state-operated school board chairman under the Indian Education Act program, and they serve their regions, and they try to meet the priorities of their local level, bring it into a regional meeting, and from there we decide, or they decide, how they're going to spend the money they got coming to them from the Indian Education Program. I have not decided how we want to spend the money from the Aleutian region, because I haven't seen the proposals from the villages or from the 10 villages that I serve in the Aleutian region. I'd have to see their proposal first before I can decide how we will spend that money with the regional board.
You got any ideas what kind of courses people want to be taught over there?
Yeah, the bilingual program, which is Aleut, is a very important program, because we feel that the language is on its way out. We don't want that to happen. Therefore, we have to start a bilingual program to bring the Aleut language back, and it started from the schools, where all the students in the school, most of them speak English and no Aleut at all. So we're introducing the Aleut language into our school now. and a cultural program. The history of the Aleuts on the Pribilof Islands and the Aleutian region, nobody knows too much about. I might be an Aleut, but I still don't know too much about it myself. We've had anthropologists on the Aleutian chain, and they are in the process of making the report at the present time. They serve a good purpose. At least they can tell you how far back the Aleuts were on the Aleutian Islands and how far back the Aleuts were on the Pribilof Islands. I have not seen anything to date because the reports are being prepared by the Aleut Corporation, the regional corporation. Well, I serve St. Paul, St. George, Sandpoint, Cole Bay, Atka, Nelson Lagoon, False Pass, Akutan, Adak, Belkoski, and those are some of the villages I'm serving. I'm glad the Indian Education Act came about because the whole state of Alaska school system has been ignored for many years now. And I think they're on their way back to make the schools a better system where our children are going to be better off in schools than we were even 15 years ago. So I'm very glad the Indian Education Act came up. This provides monies for us so we can better our system, and it brings a working relationship between the state-operated schools and the villages throughout the whole state closer together.
My name is Marcis Ferreira, and I work as a secretary in the Indian Education Act program in Anchorage at state-operated schools. And I do quite a bit of clerical work, and I work with all the proposals in from the villages.
The title of the song is Swing Your Drum.
If any of the people on both St. George and St. Paul are listening to this program, the staff at KUAC in Fairbanks would like to hear your comments about all the recordings and the people they have interviewed. The address, one more time, is KUAC, Fairbanks, Alaska. Thank you very much.
Potlatch, produced in the studios of KUAC in College in cooperation with KTOO Juneau, KOTZ Kotzebue, and KYUK Bethel, under Title I of the Higher Education Act.